It is Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors in this weather. Oh, it feels so good to be in the great outdoors. Even if it's chores, or maybe you're looking for some park to go to. In the show today, we are going to be talking about a road trip for you down to Metropolis, Illinois, because the Fort Massac encampment is happening. It's a big reenactment going on, military, civilian craft activities, all kinds of good stuff. We're going to talk with Ed Delaney in the show about that. And you still have time, probably, or hopefully, because the event's going on all the way through Sunday. And they bring in a ton of people.
Yeah.
So hopefully you can get out and enjoy that. What are you going to be, what are you doing this weekend?
Well, you know what? It's my daughter's homecoming weekend. So I'll
go.
So
he's going to be cleaning,
your
gun.
Shotgun.
Yeah.
I'm right there with
I'll be going to the game on Saturday, right? And supporting her and then cleaning my gun on Saturday night when the young man comes over to pick her up. No, I'm just kidding. No,
you're not kidding.
The only thing I'll be shooting on Saturday will be pictures of the homecoming pictures. That's it. So,
with the other parents.
You know, I know. My wife grew up in upstate New York in a very small town. I mean, graduating class, 25 people. I mean, K through 12 in one building.
Yeah.
And it's still that way, actually. She had never had a homecoming, and she asked the question this week. She goes, because my granddaughters are getting ready for homecoming, she said, is there always a football game connected with homecoming? And I said, I think there is in most bigger schools. I mean, do you know?
Yeah, that's the point of it. Everybody comes home for this particular game, and then there's, you know, everybody goes to the game and watches and runs into their old friends and that sort of thing.
Well, if they don't have a football team, they do it for basketball.
I guess so. That would make sense.
Or soccer.
Or cricket.
Whatever their main sport is, that is usually what it is.
Yeah.
Pickleball.
Okay. Well,
we're having a pickleball homecoming this week. I don't think so.
Dude, another thing, the wisdom of my wife says, I'm watching the Kamala Harris interview with Bret Baier the other night. And she's like, well, if you've already made your decision, why are you watching? Because she doesn't want to engage. She was in, you know, her reading room, and she came in and popped her head and said, over yet? And I'm like, no, but it won't be another 10 minutes or so. Let me ask you, Mark, why did you watch it? Because I have my reasons, but why did you watch it?
Well, I watched it, Bo, for the same reason that if I'm going down the interstate and there's a wreck on the other side, I slow down and rubberneck just like everybody else. You knew it was going to be a train wreck for Kamala Harris, and that's exactly what it ended up being. I mean, I had to see how she would react, although I already knew when she got seriously tough questions and follow-up questions on the border and the economy and all of these things that she's been talking about. She doesn't have a plan, and her answer to everything was Donald Trump. Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Donald Trump. No matter what he asked her about, she had been media trained to go back and say, well, but Donald Trump, Donald Trump. And it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing to watch. I mean, I kind of felt bad for her. She was really overmatched in that, and her response to it was just getting angry. No, don't interrupt me. Let me finish my comment, you know, and really, you're not saying anything. He even said that to her at one point.
And she has had that attitude before. And, you know, hey, she's her own woman. She's going to say what she wants or what they want her to say. And she did shut him down like she had done when she'd been interviewing people in different hearings, you know, in her history as senator, congresswoman, or whatever. Anyway, the reason I watched is because I want to know what we're getting into if they actually make her president in whatever way, which, you know, it may be sending chills down your body to hear that, but it is possible. I mean,
it is. It very much is. And now we find out that her team iced Bret Baier. They got her there 10 or 15 minutes late. Had even less time than they originally promised him, 30 minutes with her, and she didn't get that much. I mean, it was uncomfortable to watch, and the fact that she couldn't answer the question. Let's play one of those bites, because the point that I thought he did the best on was kind of setting her up to fail here. He asked her why she thought Donald Trump was so bad, and she launched a broadside against Trump and basically said he's not competent to be president. And then Baier hit her with this. Go to cut number 5, please, Carl.
Call Donald Trump He's misguided. You say now
he's unstable. He is unstable, Brett.
He's not well. You say he's mentally not stable.
He's not stable.
Let me ask you this. You told many interviewers that Joe Biden was on his game, that ran around circles on his staff. When did you first notice that President Biden's mental faculties appeared diminished?
Joe Biden, I have watched from the Oval Office to the Situation Room. And he has the judgment and the experience to do exactly what he has done in making very important decisions on behalf of the American people.
Yeah, and so does Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter's got his full faculties and should have been allowed to vote in Georgia this past week. Are you kidding me? See the video of this guy? I mean, they wheeled him out. He looks like a zombie. There's no way he was awake enough to actually sign his ballot or fill it out. They basically harvested Jimmy Carter's vote so they could claim that he voted for Kamala Harris at age 100.
But how impressive, though.
Well, Biden's not far off that.
There's a lot of dead people that have voted in previous elections. We know this. No, I'm not kidding. This is the scariest thing. When they're trying to clean up voter rolls, I think that's one of the most important things that can happen. I did watch 2000 Mules. I don't know if you saw that documentary.
Yes.
And you had Dinesh on this week on, which is
Friday.
Kudos to you for getting a big name like that.
Thank you.
But there's a lot of data out there, Mark. There is a lot of data that backs up. And, you know, we've all known that there's been fraudulent actions going on in elections for years. It just seems with the advent of AI and computers, it just seems like it's ramped up. And that's why I watched the Kamala Harris-Brett Baier interview, because I want to see what we're getting into. Can you imagine a conversation with her and world leaders and making sense out of it? And I'm not calling her dumb, although she said she wouldn't call people dumb, and there's audio out there of her calling 18 to 24 year olds stupid.
Yes.
And she said in the interview she would never say people are stupid.
She would never say that. It's just evidence that when you have to default to Venn diagrams, and you know, when you look up in the sky, don't look at one star, you have to look at all of them, and you know, you have to look at it in its entirety, and you have to be unburdened by what has been, because you of course grew up in a middle class family. That's a hodgepodge, a composite of her answer to every question. She doesn't have the intellectual ability to answer questions on the fly. Brett exposed that completely. Brett Baier did in this interview, and that's why you had to watch. You had to know that. Like in 60 Minutes, when they asked her, she had a gun. Well, yes, she had a gun. She had a Glock, right? She's had a Glock for a long time. Well, you know, this week on my radio show, where we do 2A Tuesday every day, I had my friend Mark Walters on from Second Amendment Radio. And he's like, here's the question I want somebody to ask her. Ask her about if she leaves the safety on that gun. Just ask her.
Oh, that's a great answer.
Because
that's
a Glock owner will know there is no safety on a Glock. That's one way to test whether or not she really owns a Glock. And then number two, ask her, what's the magazine capacity of that gun? Because odds are, if it's more than 6 or 7, which all Glocks are, then it's illegal in the state of California, and it's illegal in Washington, D.C. So which home do you keep it in? Do you keep it at the Naval Observatory, or do you keep it back in California at your other home?
Wow, you're
all
digging down.
Questions.
So she had claimed in her conversation with Brett that Trump was unstable. So immediately I searched, okay, what is the true definition of unstable? And Mark, if you could have Carl look for the cut where she really got angry. Do you have that one selected? Because it says, typically, unstable means a person is showing signs of mental distress, exhibiting erratic behavior, and experiencing irregular emotions.
Yeah, keep talking.
And when I looked at the Trump conversation with the Bloomberg interview this week, dude, he kept his cool through the whole thing. I mean, he was holding court and was answering all the questions that he wanted to answer. And that's the kind of level head. And I know some people think he's nuts or whatever personally you want to say about Donald Trump, that's fine. But when you put candidate versus candidate, we all, you know, get angry. We all have different lengths of fuses, if you will. But there was a moment that that Kamala really kind of was losing it.
I thought we had that bite from this morning, but I might not have put it in the file. But I know exactly what you're talking about.
you can YouTube it and and see. And actually, every American should watch the entire 30-minute interview or whatever it turned out to be, because we need to know. You need to know who is possibly going to be in that seat.
Bo, it's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. You know what's in the Great Outdoors, Bo Matthews? Roadkill. The only people that don't know who they're voting for at this point are that are in the middle of the road. The only thing in the middle of the road is roadkill. How can you be this close to a major United States election and not have any idea where you stand on major issues like the Second Amendment and immigration and the economy and inflation? And the answer to this ought to be simple. But I don't know who these people are. I don't know who would go out and vote for her. I don't know who hasn't made their mind up at this point. That's what I question, and I question it every week on my show.
It is baffling and a little bit frightening. I don't know. Anything could happen. It really could. Well, hey, you know what? We appreciate you listening. You know, if you have a different opinion, please reach out. We'd love to hear from you. This is Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. We're going to talk to Ed Delaney from about the Fort Massac encampment reenactment going on this weekend. And also, we're going to stay back in the 1800s and talk to Doug Holliday. It's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We thank you so much for listening to the program. You know, if you're hearing this show for the first time, we encourage you to share the show with as many people as you know, because Second Amendment supporters got to stick together. And you also have to register to vote. I'm preaching the Ted Nugent message.
Yes, sir.
Registered gun owners lacking in registered voters, so please do that. Gosh, is it too late, Mark?
You're it's the, too late voting in Missouri, expert. For sure. I don't know. I imagine. But at least get out and vote. I mean, a lot of gun owners are registered, and they just don't go to the polls and vote. That's never been more important than this year, for sure.
Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. In this segment, brought to you by Razorback Armory, your number one gun shop in the metro and beyond for suppressing a firearm. If you've never done that, I have, and I'm addicted to it, and you ought to think about it. In any caliber you want, they got the greatest selection. You can start the process at RazorbackArmory.com, get some information, and go see Jesse. So this has been a conversation in the working, Mark. Edward Delaney is a reenactor, and actually he is a friend to a friend of ours, Mark Douglas, the voice guy, otherwise known as sometimes Donald Trump or Richard Nixon or Ronald Reagan.
He's good at it. Yes, he is.
Dude, my voicemail list is full of content from Mark Douglas. He is so good. And he just randomly calls me. But anyway, he's also a big reenactor. Ed, well, can I call you Ed or do we call you Edward, sir?
Oh, you can call me Ed. That's good.
Okay. Mr. Ed, welcome to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. We're talking about Fort Massac encampment at Fort Massac State Park in Metropolis, Illinois, the home of Superman. This is the weekend it's happening. So if you're hearing this conversation and you're interested, you got to get on the road right away. Tell us what's going on this weekend, because we're going way back to the 1500s, I believe, aren't we?
Well, you may not see that exactly that date of anybody portraying that, but you'll see from the 18th century up until the early 19th century. So anything that had to do with the flintlock era.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, gotcha. Yeah. So there'll be this place will have 80,000 people come through, and that's not including the reenactors that are here.
Whoa.
And this is the 50th anniversary for this event, and the Illinois DNR do real good job setting this up and everything. But when you come down, there'll be kids entertainment, there's adult entertainment, well, you know, take that how you might.
Whoa. And, yeah, baby,
some 1800s adult entertainment, or exactly
that's why 80,000 people show up.
That's right. So they've got food. You don't have to bring any food. They got a food court that would put any mall to shame down here. We have Sutler's Row, which is selling everything you can imagine from the early 1700s all the way up to the 1800s. So we have a battle at the end of the day around 2 o'clock. And usually that's what most of the people come in for. And it's held down into a real nice field where everybody can watch it almost like a stadium. And yeah, so there's a lot to do, lots of entertainment. We have pipe and drum corps, pipe bands, all kinds of stuff down here for people to be entertained by. And it's a beautiful site. It's right overlooking the Ohio River. This place was occupied by the French, and then that was called Fort Ascension, and then the Americans moved in and built Fort Massac. So this has been a place of strategic value to this country. So.
I was trying to let you know I did some homework before this conversation because I don't know much about that long ago. Fort Massac, sure. I guess, was originally built in 1540 by Fernando de Soto. And, of course, that word sounds really familiar around De Soto, Missouri. But is there a connection there? Do we know?
I'm not sure. I'm not really sure. I know that according to this, like I said, this has just been a strategic place for even the Spanish came down here when they occupied St. Louis.
Oh, wow.
And fired on the fort. So there is a connection with St. Louis. So, yeah.
Wow. I didn't realize it went back that far. And Bo's older than he lets on. So don't believe him when he tells you he can't relate to that.
Right.
I lived through it.
Ed, I'm always interested when I talk to people who are in actors. How did you get involved in this? I mean, have you just always been a history buff? Did you enjoy the weapons from that period? What kind of drew you into this?
I'll tell you exactly what happened. My girlfriend, who became my wife, she says, my dad's going to a meeting in St. Charles for a reenactment unit. And I was like, I don't even know what that is. And I went and sat down, listened to the presentation, and the guy was wearing a Spanish uniform because, you know, Spain occupied upper Louisiana and in the 1700s. And so I walked in there, and the guy was talking, and then he turned around and picked up a Brown Best musket. And I said, I don't give a darn what I would have to wear. I'm getting one of them muskets. And that was it. I was hooked. And now my kids and their kids are all, all involved in this. And we've been coming down here for 36 years.
Wow.
So
that's fantastic.
I even came back from Iraq on R&R just to hit this weekend.
It's
been a family thing. So.
That is impressive. I mean, how do you talk the kids into wearing that wool underwear?
No, you wear what you want underneath. Okay. It's the overclothes that you get. Yeah, that's cool. So,
sounds like the weather is going to be perfect for it, too, because obviously you don't want it to be 85 or 90 degrees when you're wearing some of that gear, right?
That's right. That's right. In fact, when I woke up, I'm already down here. I already have my marquee set up, and I'm the officer of this unit, so I get a bigger tent than everybody. But
nice.
when I woke up today, it was 32 degrees. So yeah, it was a good night for sleeping.
Now, Ed Delaney's our guest. He is going to be kind of the kingpin at the Fort Massac encampment. It's in Metropolis, Illinois. You mentioned 80,000 people. Is parking an issue, or do you have shuttles, or people just park all over the place? Can you describe?
No,
80,000 people. Come on. Sounds like a Trump rally.
No. Yeah. The bridge for Paducah is right in sight over here. And last year, there was so much traffic coming across there to get to this event. They practically shut down the whole bridge, basically.
Wow.
To get in here. So they have like a 40-acre field. They have tractors that haul, wagons, and they bring all the people down here from out by the highway, actually. So, yeah, the DNR down here really work hard to make this a great event. So,
yeah,
it's unbelievable in Illinois, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's fantastic. I'm a little surprised J.B. Pritzker's not down there trying to confiscate some guns.
Yeah, right. I see a lot of signs down here that say that that's not their guy. So,
yeah, I'll bet. You know, I'm interested in the food. It said on your release that you put out that there's period food along with period dress. So, what kind of stuff are people able to get a hold of if they go down there when it comes to food?
Well, as far as the food go, I mean, the Boy Scouts are the big thing in the morning for reenactors because they give them free coffee. But
yeah, I'll bet.
they have like bison and some like I don't a lot of stews type of stuff and a lot of the usual turkey legs, corn, and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, you can find it all right down here. I mean, it's huge.
Well, they've been doing it this long. This is a big operation for sure. Hey, I was going to ask you a question I haven't given to Mark Douglas, our mutual friend. Mm-hmm. But when you guys are doing the reenactments, you know, this is like the history books coming alive in, you know, 4D right in front of you. Are there people playing actual people from those eras, from the 1800s or whatever era you are? And what is the era that you guys are in? Is it 1700s to 1800s?
Okay, so the unit that we portray is a unit, British unit. Well, they're actually a non-kilted Scottish regiment that came over in 1757.
Wow.
And so when you come into camp, usually they want to talk about our cannons or our weapons and stuff like that. So a lot of times people aren't really interested in, like, being entertained in that way, or, you know, in their discussion is basically lots of farmers like to talk about our guns and stuff. But they do have people come out here occasionally that do, like a Jefferson or something like that. But yeah, I haven't seen any in a while. But when you come into our camp, you know, we try not to talk about politics or anything new. We try to talk about the era and that type of thing. So, yeah, it's a step back in time, and it's like I said, it's been a pilgrimage for us as a family, and most of my friends are on the opposite side. They're the French. And so it's like a family gathering down here. So
who were the? Let's get back to these non-kilted Scottish. Did they not like the draft, or what? Why were they?
It's cold, Mark. It's October.
They were mostly Lowland Scots.
Oh, okay.
Their history goes all the way back to when France and Scotland had a treaty between both countries, and they actually were a Scottish regiment that went and fought for the French king.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. And then when the British became one kingdom, you know, the islands became all one kingdom, then they were brought back to serve under the English king. Yeah.
Well, I will tell you this, that usually in the evening after my wife falls asleep, I watch movies that she definitely has no interest in. And I've been rewatching. No. It's just a courtesy thing.
Yeah.
I've been rewatching Braveheart and from 1995 with Mel Gibson. Dude, I would recommend any American right now to see the fight that William Wallace had to do in Scotland and England. You need to watch that to see the similarities. I mean, I know history doesn't repeat itself, but it certainly rhymes. And of course, Mel Gibson in a kilt. You know, I don't know if he's wearing tighty whities or he's receiving a breeze. But
learning something new about Bo here.
What's that?
I was looking for a breeze.
What they call regimental.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, I tell you what, Ed, I just remind people, because some people are going to hear this show recorded this weekend, but this show is the encampment's going on from 10 to 5, both Saturday and Sunday, right?
Right. Yes.
And Saturday night, there's a drone show, which were very popular in the 1700s, starting at 7 o'clock. And I guess it's free. And is the whole event free admission or just the drone show?
Yeah. Yes, yes. Everything is free. It's open. There is no admission at all. Now, I don't know about parking, but I know that the encampment, there's no gate or nothing like that.
What do they do with the drones? I know Bo's being funny there, but the drone, what is the drone show?
Well, so it's supposed to take place of a fireworks display that they normally do down here.
Okay.
So this is the first for us, too, you know. We were all kind of like wondering what that was, how that was going to be. So,
interesting. So, are they not doing a fireworks show because it's been so dry? I know I went camping recently and there was a burn ban on because things have been so dry.
Well, they usually fire because they got the river right out here, down at St. Louis. They used to put a barge out here and fire a bunch of fireworks, but this is something new. And
Just to make sure, Ed did say everything was free. Admission is free to the thing, but you're going to have to pay for your funnel cake and your turkey legs and your drinks or whatever.
That's
sassafras.
Right. That's right.
But Ed, man, great conversation. Thanks for sharing. Where can people get information more online?
They just need to go to the, they just need to type in Fort Massac or the DNR, Illinois DNR, and they have page on there. You can find it on Facebook too, the Friends of Massac, and there's all kinds of ways to find out information about this event.
Very good.
Well, good luck. Yeah, yep. Thank you very much for your time, sir. Enjoy the weekend and enjoy the 80,000 plus people showing up. And I guess you probably won't see a Trump banner out there, maybe, but he was big in the 1700s, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Ed, take care of yourself. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Yep, we appreciate that. That's good.
All right.
MetropolisTourism.com is another website you can go to, apparently, with information on that.
We're going to go a little bit closer to current day, and we're going to talk to Doc Holliday coming up next on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors right here. Stay right there. Don't go anywhere.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Okay, we got to explain something.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox here along with my partner Bo Matthews and Carl Middleman on the board over there. We appreciate that. Of course, we've been talking about this for a while now because Bo is so heavily involved in it, and I think that's fantastic, raising money for the Eureka Police Officers Fund. And one thing they're doing is this gun raffle, and of course, Doc's Guns and Ammo down there in Eureka has been taking good care of you guys for the longest time.
Hey, who won that first month?
I can't remember. Who was the winner of that?
I think his name was...
His name was Bo Matthews.
I'll be darned.
Who has not won that was, at all?
That coinkydink...
That was... It was so awkward. We did the drawing the other day, and I was so worried I was going to win again, but I wanted to win.
Well, I love it.
Because the gun we had was a 44 Magnum, but it was like a 2 3/4 inch barrel. Oh,
now, gosh. I've never been kicked by a mule, but my guess is that handgun would be very similar.
Yeah, it's effective for sure. The good news is we are continuing with another $100 ticket that starts off in December. And I want to just give a shout out to Doc Holliday. You know, we're spending a lot of this show back in the 1700s and 1800s. I did some homework. Doc Holliday, former dentist. Did you know that? Gambler, gunfighter.
That's the
Doc Holliday.
He was a lunger, from what I hear.
Really? Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I didn't know that. We've got a reincarnation of Doc Holliday right here from Doc's Guns and Ammo. Welcome to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Bo?
I'm good. I appreciate letting me book you late last night. You know, something that was said at the drawing the other day was that the election definitely changes gun purchases, especially this election. Can you elaborate more on that for us? Because I'm sure all gun stores are feeling that effect.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. I mean, it's just the election cycles always tend to draw in because they talk about banning guns and they talk about, you know, not going to be able to get guns or banning ammo or whatever. It's, you know, they just constantly, and then people get excited. It's good for business.
good advertising for you,
I'm
right?
I'm sure it is, and you're having those conversations as people walk in the door as well, right? I mean, depending on, they're worried that something's going to get banned or suddenly not be available. We went through that back in 2012 as well.
Correct. We did. We went in 2012, 2016 was the same thing. It's 2008 was the same. It seems like every election cycle, it's constant badgering, one side for the last 20 years anyway, it seems like that. So,
right. Yeah, that's their marketing plan, to take your guns away. Doc's Guns and Ammo, I know it's a name that's been around for a long time in Eureka, but you're a family-owned retail a gun store, and I want to call it your new location, but how long have you been in that big location right there on 5th Street?
We've been there almost 2 years now, right? I got my manager, Jeff, here, so he's helped me out. Maybe almost 3 years now. In February, moved in February a couple of years ago, so...
Made a big difference for you, I'm sure. And, when people come in, Jesse up at Razorback, I talked to him a lot, and he said he's seeing more liberals or more Democrats coming in and purchase guns. Are you getting that effect as well, Doc?
Correct. We are, too. We see a lot of them. So why we don't, we get into politics, we don't get into angry politics here. We just, we talk about it. Everybody knows my opinion. Everybody knows most gun store owners' opinions. But, I mean, I'm okay. Democrats, yeah. There's a lot of good hunters out there. Missouri used to be full of good pro-gun, pro-life Democrats.
Well, just taking the politics out of it for a minute, when I've talked to my friends in the gun business, they're seeing a lot of first-timers. Politics aside, they're seeing people who are seeing crime statistics. I mean, I think just this week we learned that the FBI revised its 2022 crime statistics, and they were actually about 6% higher than what they told us. And that's got a lot of people worried about, if nothing else, personal security, right?
Correct. Yep, we do get a lot of first-time buyers in here, and that's one of the things we thrive on, first-time buyers, because we like to explain guns, we like to talk about guns, and we do a good job. We're all people in the gun business, have been for a while, so talking with new customers is always fun. That's something I always like to do. There's no sense. They're nervous. They come in, we try to make them comfortable.
Well, and you're right down the road from Henges Shooting Range, which I'll be going to. I'm going more often because it's right there near Eureka, and I'm in that area a lot. I think, Doc, the thing that I'm most impressed with is you guys have non-lethal ways to protect yourself in your store, and you feature that on the one wall in the front room of the store. But, most people come in, they're like, I want a Sig Sauer, I want a Glock or whatever. But you also have a really strong depth of knowledge of the history guns. And you have some on your wall that are like collectors. Mark and I were just talking about it before we got you on the air, that you have some like historical firearms up on the wall from collections you've purchased, correct?
Correct. Purchase or consignments. I mean, we do both of them, and we have a lot of them. We had a lot more. We've sold a lot of them this summer. We had a couple big collections that came in here this year. The M1 Carbines, M1 Garands, the British 303 Enfields. Trying to think. Oh, the Russian 9130s. We've got a lot of good collection here from World War II era.
Wow. And, that's amazing.
We had a lot of good ones in here that, those things, when they come in, they sell pretty fast. There's still a lot of good collectors out there.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about, Bo wanted me to ask you about a gun that I just picked up. It is a Harrington and Richardson trapdoor. So it's sort of the reproduction of that Springfield trapdoor that was popular. Shoots a .45-70. I haven't even fired it yet, but looking at the size of that round, I'm a little concerned.
You'll love it. You'll love it. There was a lot of buffalo taken back in the late 1800s with one of those, and it was a really good gun, and it was just, easy to load, first really long range type rifle they had, back in those days. So
fun. I'm going to go deer hunting with it. I'm going to take it to the range first and make sure I've got it sighted in. It's got one of those flip up sights on the back that's adjustable for range, I would imagine, and I need to make sure I've got it sighted properly.
And Mark, this is Jeff here. Also, that caliber, there's a lot of range. You can get cowboy loads that are very mild for that, all the way up to pretty heavy loads for that. It's it's pretty versatile round.
Yeah, sounds like it. Yeah, thank you. I'm surprised at how expensive the ammo was. I bought a couple of boxes of it, and it cost you a little bit per shot. Let's put it that way.
So be a good shot, man.
Yeah,
be better, Mark.
There's a lot of material, yeah. It's a large round. Not a round you're going to fire 100 of them today either.
So. No, you're not, for sure. But if I told my wife I was going to make sure I had my 1,000 rounds of that one, she would probably divorce me, for sure.
go ahead, Doc, sorry.
I was going to say the firearm is the cheap side of the business. The ammo is.
As Mark told me about it, I was curious, is it hard to find that ammo? Do you sell stuff like that and older ammo like that? Or, I mean, new, but, you know, old style ammo at your store?
Yep. We got a couple different kinds of that on the shelf. We have a good collection of ammo here. We always prided ourselves on not just having 9s and 45s and 223 and 556. We carry a lot of stuff that you won't normally find. If we can get it, we try to keep some of it in store because you never know. Somebody's going to walk in and say, hey, you got some 220 Swift?
Yeah.
You got two boxes here. Are you, you know.
6.5 Swedish.
Right.
Or, yeah. 450 Bushmaster.
Right. 7mm, 8mm for Mausers. You know, people have a lot of those guns, and it was hard to get during the pandemic. You couldn't, you know, they were making all the 9mm they could make, you know, and they were trying to keep up with that, but. Other than that, you know, we try to keep a good collection of a different type of ammo in here. So,
well, that's pretty cool. The other voice that we're hearing besides Doc on the phone is Jeff. He's the manager at Doc's Guns and Ammo in Eureka. Mark, he also doubles as a rock and roll star. Jeff, do you do any Sammy Hagar? Because that's Mark's like favorite.
Oh yeah, for sure. We've done a lot of Sammy Hagar.
What's the name of the band? Are we playing out anywhere?
Oh, we're the Tailgaters, spelled like alligators. We're cover. We play all genres. We played Eureka Days a few times. We play in the area.
Nice.
You can find us on things. Yep.
Yeah. And how long have you been the manager at Doc's? Have you been hanging around Doc?
I've been here over 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a good crew over there. Well, I do want to punch in about the wireless hole punchers, the raffle ticket we're giving away, because my video did finally get up from the drawing the other day. Mark, I'm sorry you didn't win.
Again.
I was hoping, Carl, I was hoping you would win as well. We've got one more drawing in November. I know. We've got one more. It's a Colt AR style rifle. That'll be in November, but we're picking up with another 12 guns that Doc has secured for us for the next 12 months to support the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund. It's so easy to get a ticket. Even if you can't get into Doc's, you can reach out to me on Facebook, just search Bo Matthews, and we'll have you Venmo or PayPal the money, and we'll get a picture of your ticket with it filled out, and then you can see all the different firearms that we got. We got rifles, we got revolvers and pistols and shotguns, a great array. And I'm looking at the pricing, Mark. You definitely need to get on this because you're not going to go out and spend like $700 on a firearm. That's the most inexpensive firearm on that list. And the most expensive is nearly $2,000.
Hey, I've already bought my ticket, Bo Matthews. Chuck Mayer hit me up when we were live in Eureka that time. So you're behind the curve here, buddy. Sorry.
Well, Carl hasn't whipped out his wallet yet. But again, reach out to me if you want one of these. It supports the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund. Gun a month, gun raffle, or if you're offended by that, it's a wireless hole puncher, Mr. Zuckerberg. Doc and Jeff, thank you guys so much for your time. We do appreciate it. And have a great rest of the time leading up to Election Day. And if you're looking for something, go check them out right there on Fifth Street. Doc's Guns and Ammo. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, we appreciate it, guys. We've got the tickets here, too, so come on down.
Absolutely. All right, buddy. Well, good that's enough. A show, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, that's good. Good to know people can go down there and pick them up in person if they don't, if they're not on the Facebook or whatever it is they want to do, right?
Yeah,
it's an easy way to get them.
Absolutely.
And good luck. And because just as a reminder, when you buy that ticket, there are 12 different drawings. Even if you win, your name is put back in the hopper. So you could technically win twice, even though I've never even won once. But I'm still hopeful because I got a month left, and I'm in next year's raffle already. So that's good.
And we're only selling 300 tickets. That's the big selling point. Only 300 tickets. Yeah, so that's a good deal.
You can't
All right.
beat that. All right. That
Enjoy
does it,
the weather.
That does it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Hope you are having yourself a great weekend.
Share the show.
See you, boys.